Segment number two of In Focus starts now here on News Radio KMAN. On a Thursday morning, we're talking with our guests from the National Bio and Agri Defense Facility, NBAF, as it's known here. Dr. Ken Burton, Katie Pulaski, and Dr. Jamie Barnaby, who is the manager of National Animal Vaccine and Veterinary Countermeasures Bank. She's out in Connecticut here this morning and a long ways here from Manhattan, Kansas, but she's sharing some very valuable information with us here. And we've got just a few more minutes here left. And Dr. Barnaby, I may just ask you here, is there any way the USDA can use some of this expertise that you've shared in that first segment in the fight against COVID-19?
Sure, Brandon, that's an excellent question and incredibly timely. I could say that. So with, the emergence of SARS-CoV-2 and, this battle over the past year and a half against COVID-19, USDA actually has had a really beautiful opportunity to step in and be a part of the COVID-19 response. And I guess as an example for you, while FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is leading a lot of that federal effort for this vaccination campaign, FEMA has been called in to support a number of states in their vaccination efforts, and APHIS was requested to provide some assistance to that, and it's actually deployed, I think, it looks like now maybe over 500 employees across the board. So they're not all veterinarians, but a lot of them were. We've sent technicians, animal health technicians, biological science technicians, out to either whether they're vaccinating or they're helping to draw up vaccines, supporting those pharmacists. It's been, as far as emergency responses go, when we talk about One Health, for anybody not familiar with it, One Health is this approach to health in general that acknowledges that human health is intertwined with animal health as well as environmental health. It was a true One Health response. I had the chance to deploy to Nevada for about 6 weeks to help with their vaccination campaigns. And it was one of the best experiences, one of the most rewarding experiences of my life, most certainly. I had the opportunity to work alongside physicians, registered nurses, nurse practitioners, EMTs, firefighters, and National Guard, Air Guard, Army Guard, coming from all over the country, everyone working together day in and day out to help vaccinate folks. I mean, I met a lot of great people, and it was, you could see how so much of the population or the community viewed this vaccination as a gift or a way to get their lives back. And to be able to do that as a veterinarian, to be able to assist my own species, I guess, in recovering from something is this difficult has been really incredible. And, USDA, together with FEMA, really facilitated that experience. It's been pretty incredible, I think.
Yeah, sounds like it. That's great. Obviously, a lot of us have been just kind of cooped up here for the past year and looking forward to getting our lives back. I think a lot of us share that sentiment. We have a phone call here. Someone's got a question, so we'll put them on here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Okay, good morning. Beautiful day in Manhattan. Thanks to all the people from NBAF for reporting, especially to the lady that traveled getting back east. Thank you for your service. I have three questions kind of related. What was the original date for NBAF to be open? What is the proposed date for NBAF open up, fully be operational with all the people that was proposed are going to be moving here and buying homes? What is the status of that? There's a rumor mill that possibly they'll be coming in, staying short terms, people from all over the world. So we'll have a great facility and great people, but Will all the cash on the back end up like everyone said it would?
Your phone's kind of breaking up there, Paul. I think we got the first two questions. I think his question was, what was the original open date supposed to be for NBAF, and then what is the current timeline for that? I think that was the second question.
Brandon, yeah, I had a little dip. Go ahead, Katie.
Oh, sure. I was going to ask Dr. Burton if you want to address that, if you'd like me to. Either way.
Sure. I can start out and then go ahead and feel free to add in. If I heard the question correctly, Originally, our plan was that substantial completion, or the point where construction would be at the point where USDA could take over operations of NBAP, was December 10th of 2020. As we visited in some of the other previous programs, we worked with DHS, and they notified us of that potential delay in construction associated with some things that were centered around COVID-19. So currently, the scheduled substantial completion and USDA taking over operations would be October of 2021. However, last week, we just began what's called a phase transition, where USDA now has operational responsibility for the central utility plant, the security services on campus, and then we've got our IT staff in there working, preparing for making sure that IT is ready for continued phasing of USDA personnel into the facility.
All right. Appreciate you clearing that up for our listener here. And Dr. Burton, I'll stick with you here on this next question. What role could NBAF have in preventing future pandemics?
Well, Brandon, you know, in the message that we really try to get out to everybody is that NBAF's primary focus is going to be on animal diseases, but the basic animal research that's going to be done at NBAF could definitely play a supporting role in any future public health crises with respect to livestock research, diagnostic platforms that are developed, and countermeasures, as well as training in response, like Dr. Barnaby mentioned. As part of the COVID-19 vaccination deployments that Jamie mentioned, here at NBAF, seven employees have deployed to various areas and in various capacities across the United States to help with that COVID vaccination effort. And across all sectors of USDA, in response to FEMA's request for assistance, we've had about 1,300 employees that have deployed to assist in those vaccination efforts. So, you know, the USDA employees that have volunteered their time is a good example of how NBAF is contributing to that One Health approach. And as Dr. Barnaby also mentioned, NBAF is going to be a critical component in a key priority of USDA, and that's the development of animal vaccines and countermeasures for those diseases that will threaten our livestock, which our livestock is our food supply, and some of those, you know, have public health implications. So, you know, from that public health perspective, the ability of NBAF to be able to research some of these diseases that are considered zoonotic or can be spread from animals to humans is critical. You know, NBAF is going to be the first and only BSL-4 livestock capability facility in the United States, one of only currently four in the world. And the other statistic that we always want to remind people is that, you know, over the last 10 years, about 70% of the emerging diseases that affect humans have some type of an animal component. So a significant potential role, I think, for NBAF.
You know, we're to that time of year also here, and I thought this would be a good question to bring up here today, is what preventative measures have been taken to ensure that the diseases don't escape if we have, you know, let's say a tornado or some sort of a catastrophic severe weather event?
And that's a great question, and it's a concern that we get asked a lot. The BSL-4 containment laboratories, as you might guess, you know, they require the highest level of safety protocols and equipment so that not only our scientists can safely study the pathogens within high level of containment, but also so that we keep the pathogens where they're supposed to be. Our partners with U.S. Department of Homeland Security in the construction of the facility, that was one of the things that when the site-specific risk assessment in 2012 was redone, they went back and looked at and really bolstered up those capabilities. So the facility now is designed so that all pathogens, are stored and handled within a secure containment envelope. And in an emergency, that containment core literally locks down like a vault. ensure that, that any pathogens remain inside should there be a risk from a tornado event or other high wind event. So, you know, many redundant safety and biocontainment features that NBASH has. Our scientists and technicians wear personal protective equipment and take extensive precautions when they're working in containment. You know, as you can guess, cleaning and disinfection of workspaces, and the teams oversee all of those processes and procedures, and many things are done on the buddy system, or most everything is done on the buddy system. So we've got an accountability factor that comes into play there, too. So all of those things work together within that containment envelope, Brandon, to make sure that everything is done safely, not only for our scientists, but also from the perspective of the community.
All right. Appreciate you addressing that here. And one final question here for Katie. Seeing as though this is a public service recognition week, how are NBAF and USDA employees serving the nation?
Yeah, Brandon, great question. You know, as federal employees, we're really all here because we are passionate about what we do. I mean, you can hear it in Dr. Burton's voice and Dr. Barnsey's. You know, we strive to serve the common good. You know, and the example of those who volunteered and deployed to assist with the COVID-19 vaccination efforts is just a great example of that dedication to public service. You know, our USDA and NBAF employees, and as well as the employees out at Plum Island, you know, we're average Americans working every day toward a mission to protect our food supply, our agricultural economy, and our public health. Our team is definitely facing interesting challenges, you know, from having to telework for the last 14 months to just bringing together so many people from multiple agencies from across the country to stand up the state-of-the-art science facility. But their hard work and perseverance is so much appreciated. And certainly I want to take a moment to say thank you to our entire team, to our leaders, for their continued dedication to the mission. And, you know, and I also certainly want to thank all of the other public servants in our community, the city of Manhattan, our Kansas legislators, and several other organizations for their continued support of NBAF and all the work they do as well. You know, we're here to continue to provide accurate information to the public, as well as to all of our stakeholders and partners. And so, you know, last plug, if anyone out there listening has specific needs for information or questions about NBAF, please email them to us at, it'll be NBAF@USDA.gov. And you can also learn more about NBAF by visiting our website at USDA.gov/NBAF or following us on Twitter or LinkedIn. So thanks, Brandon.
You bet. Well, appreciate, again, to talk to everybody here. Dr. Jamie Barnaby, thank you so much, and we'll look forward to having you here in Kansas at some point.
Thank you so much, Brandon.
Thank you, Dr. Burton, and thank you to Katie Pulaski as well. Appreciate it, guys.
Thanks,
Brandon. Thank you, Brent.
Stay tuned. We'll have more in focus after this. General Perry Wiggins standing by here on News Radio KMAN.